Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray this morning that as we gather today and as we're worshiping, Lord, we just pray that you just speak to us, Father. I pray, Father, that for any of us right now, Lord, that have decisions that we have to make, whether it be with family or with work or with housing, just everything, Father. I just pray, Lord, that we just seek you first, that we don't go and ask opinions of friends or even go on past experiences or anything. We just say, Lord, Father, I'm laying everything down, and I want you to lead me before anyone else, Lord. Speak to us, Lord God. And lead us as we worship this morning.
Thank you, Father God.
Help us to grow deeper in you. Father, Lord God, as we sing these songs, Lord, just I know sometimes it brings joy, sometimes it brings these convictions of, you know, we love singing these songs, but do we actually live them? And Father, I pray, Lord, that while we're here, we don't feel condemnation, but Lord, we feel your heart tug at our heart. Now, we can sing these songs and we can sing of living for you every day and wanting your happiness and your joy and your guidance. But Father, help us to truly live that, Lord God. Help us not to be hypocrites or lazy or apathetic, Lord. Help us to truly want these things, Lord God, and not just want them, but to surrender to your will and ignore our flesh, Father.
Joyful.
Father, Lord God, no matter what's going on in our life, Lord God, if things are going well, Father, if we're going through hard times, help us just to worship you. Help us to dig deeper. Help us to know that it's not our own strength that gets us to where we are, Father. So many times I think this world just pushes this agenda of we're strong enough, we can do it, it's all about us. Father, help us to get our eyes off of ourselves. Help us to not have that pride that comes before the fall, Lord. Help us to know that every good thing comes from you, and help us to worship that. Help us to worship you, Lord God. When we become new creations, it's not because we willed ourselves to do it. It's because you forgave us. And you cleansed us, and you've created us new, Lord. And I praise you for that, Father.
My heart,
for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Come in to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down. I lay Lord God, anything that we come here today with, Lord, just all of our struggles, Lord God, I just pray, Father, we are able to lay them down. I know sometimes that's easier said than done, but sometimes we just have to be obedient. We have to bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't carry this. I can't do it anymore. I need you to help me. And Father, once we can let that go, just the peace is just so beautiful, Father. Help us to be obedient in that, Lord. These pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole, empty-handed but not forsaken. I've been set free, I've been set free. Your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Ooh, oh, oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Father, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that like everyone else on this earth, Lord God, without you we were blind and we were walking around in darkness. But Father, once your love came over us, once it washed over us, we finally had your vision. We could see. Father, keep working with us to get your eyesight, Lord God, just the way you look at everyone, the way that you see things in the world, Lord. Help us to see things and see people as you do, Father. Help us to have love for others, Lord God, that we can't even explain, Father. Help us to see things in the world that once really pulled us close to say that's nothing, that's fading. And in fact, a lot of those things are disgusting and apart from what you want for us. Help us to see with your eyes, Lord God. We pray for your wisdom, Lord God. We pray for your understanding, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you just speak to us today, Lord God, and be with us this week, Father, and give us just as much as we need, Lord God, to meet us where we are. In your name we pray.
Thank you,
amen.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Can you move your sandals? These yours? I love it. I'm going to take off mine. Don't be sorry. I love it. Hi, Andy. We were waiting for you to start church. So now that you're here, we'll start the service.
Okay.
Right. Well, welcome. We are so glad that you are here in the name of Jesus Christ. Mark, I don't know if you're going to do this, but could you come up here for a second? Make sure this thing is on. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, we are going to have a Celebration of Jesus church picnic Sunday the 8th. Yes. And that is the Sunday after Easter. Is that right? Yes. And we're going to have just a day of testimony time. So what we're going to do is we're going to get some amazing guys who are going to cook up some incredible, they don't know it yet maybe, but they're going to cook up some, poor Mike, he's looking right at me going, it's me, isn't it? Some incredible pork and some smoked meat, and we're going to have a big old barbecue here and for a church service. So bring your blankets, bring a chair, we're going to just sit out front, and we're going to have some bounce houses and all those type things like we did last year. And it's just going to be a time of celebration and testimony. Debbie had said, we need to celebrate more, Mark said. And she's right. So there you go. Good for you. And so, Mark, would you like to share?
Yeah, there will be one thing different this year at the picnic. I plan not to burn my hand. Okay? Yeah, well, we'll throw you on the fire this time, okay? Oh. It was funny. We knew the kids were coming back and from the Ark and the Creation Museum, and Debbie and I were having a conversation about that, and she was very adamant on Monday, I think it was, when we knew they were coming back, and she said, you know, Mark, at this church we put up a lot of prayer requests. And we really are good at that. But we need to celebrate what God has done more. We just don't do that. We leave that part out. And the more I thought about it, the more I knew she was right. And I started to pray about it and ask the Lord about it. And there was a scripture that I knew existed, but I wasn't sure where it was. It says something about God inhabiting the praises of his people. And I couldn't find it because I didn't have the exact word. But the Lord in his infinite wisdom and mercy and love, he finally showed me where it was. And I want to read that to you this morning. Because it's right where we are, and it shows where we need to be. And it's in Psalm 22, verses 1 through 5. And this is where we're living right now. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. And that's we as his children have a right, and we should expect to be able to call out to our Heavenly Father. We should do that. But it shouldn't stop there, because then it goes on into verse 3, and this is where we need to live. And there's a connective word there at the beginning of verse 3, and it says, yet. Here's my circumstances out here, and they're not good. Then we go to the connective word, but, or yet. It says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. See, my encouragement, the Lord gave me a really big encouragement this morning as I was trying to listen for him to be ready for today. And he said, I want you to encourage this little body to start really reading the book of Psalms. And if they have a prayer request, I want them to start reading Psalms and look for that connective word. Oh, Lord, these are my circumstances, but this is who you are. We need to live in the this is who you are area. Okay? This is what the world is telling me, Lord. This really stinks. But what you say is this. And we need to live in his word, not our circumstances. Okay? Let's quit telling God how big our problems are, and let's start telling our problems how big our God is. Okay? And I've been praying, and Gary's been praying for revival. But this morning as I was getting ready, I said, Lord, I believe that if we started reading Psalms and started actually believing what it says after that connective word, that revival could start right here. Right here in this body. Because we're a family. We're not one of these mega churches that's got thousands of people going to it or hundreds of people going to it where you don't really know anybody and it's really easy to hide. It's hard to hide here. Okay? It's real hard to hide because there is no pew you can duck under that somebody can say, I see you. Okay? We can't hide, and we don't want to hide. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. When we start doing that, when we start living in after the connective word in the Word of God, people are going to look and say, man, I don't know what those guys got. But I want it. I want to be part of that. I want to find out what they have. Because I look at their circumstances and they aren't a ding-dong bit better than mine. But their attitude is completely different. They're praising somebody. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. They're going to want to know. And it tells us in John 6:44 and 45, that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Everyone who has heard and learned from him comes to me. He's drawing us constantly. He's drawing other people constantly. They're looking. And guess what? If we start living after the connective word, in the word, they'll see us. They'll find us. And they will come and ask. And when they come here, they will get the pure word of God. They will hear the pure word of God. And they will receive the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about, testimonies. So let's take God at his word. Let's start reading the book of Psalms. I am absolutely certain there is no one sitting here today that does not have a prayer request that needs an answer. And I can also promise you that in the book of Psalms, you'll find it. Just start living after the connective word. Because that's where the power is. Not in the circumstance. In the power of God. So let's start. Yeah, honey, Debbie.
That right off the bat, I heard a good thing that happened, and that's when everybody agreed with you that we need more celebration and we need to be happier. I heard a lot of laughs. It's a start.
Absolutely. Oh, I thought you were going to keep talking. Okay, I'm not.
Well,
ready
you
yet.
Taking
okay,
a,
no? Go
you
ahead. No, we're
you
good.
Taking
the
day
I'm
off?
On a flight. No, okay.
Darren's taking the day off.
And pretty much, folks, that's the sermon for today. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. But isn't everything that he's saying spot on? Let's just be honest. So we're so thankful, and I want you to know something. And this is, you know, you get to get real here. We're just not. So I made this slide literally about 20, 30 minutes ago. Right before we left. And so God has already prepared hearts, and even for him to come up and share this kind of stuff. And I love when God is already at work. And that's the cool thing about the Lord. God is working all around us all the time. It's just sometimes we're so off focus or off topic, we're not noticing it. And so I really appreciate the encouragement and the exhortation to read Psalms. I believe that was from the Lord. And so I'd encourage everybody to do that in Jesus' name. All right, so we've got a few other things to go over, and hopefully I don't forget everything and anything. So that's the week after Easter, and please bring a side dish to share. Make sure you do that, if you would. And also, again, chairs and blankets. Yes, Carrie, did I see you or Delina?
You answered my question.
Oh, super. Oh, that's great. You know what? I saw the hand up. I thought, side dish to share. Thank you, Lord. He's so good. So anyway, but also be thinking about this, what you can give a testimony about. Now, for those of you who don't know, when you give a testimony, the testimony is not about how great you are or how strong you are, what you're doing. The testimony is to be about Jesus and what he's doing. That's what we want to hear. It's all about him. Amen?
Amen?
All right, so start thinking and praying about it. Even if you're scared, do it anyway. All right, we've got literally... I don't even know how many loaves of Panera bread, bags and bags of bagels, French baguettes. I got them last night. They're all free in Jesus' name. I don't even know where they're at. I think they're sort of in the sink area. I see bags overflowing. So please take loaves home with you. They're a gift, free in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, okay. So also put your tithes and offerings in the back. Dang it. Put your tithes and offerings in the back, if you would. There's a little bird box there, and he provides for the birds of the air. And for us as well, so please put your weekly or monthly tithes there. And also, we're welcoming back a wonderful family. So glad you're back home with us. Woo-hoo-hoo! And there's going to be a big bonus prize for coming back from Georgia to Florida to our church. Gary, tell them what they've won. Yee-hoo! Absolutely
that's
nothing,
right,
Pastor.
Monty.
They've won nothing, Pastor Darren. That's great. But we are happy to see the whole family, so it's really wonderful to have them back. Okay, so we're an equipping ministry, so some people get mad at me that we give away stuff. We want to be financially responsible. We're so thankful for the tithes and offerings you give, but we want to pour it right back into training up everybody. So right before I left on our trip to, we'll talk about that in a minute, we had about 15 of us go to the Ark Encounter and... Creation Museum and stuff. But before we do that, we did one on God speaking, 2 weeks, and we talked about how the Holy Spirit, how God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, through God's word, circumstances, the church, others. And so here's a free book. Now listen, if I've already given you a book and you have not read it yet, or we've given you a book, don't take another book, okay? But if you haven't, if you've read everything we've given you, if you would like a book, this is called Forgotten God, Reversing the Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit by Francis Chan. And so it's a really great book, and it's about a little intro to the Holy Spirit and how he works and how he operates and empowers. And so if you'd like, it's written very well. If you would like this book, we're willing to give it to you as a free gift in Jesus' name, if you will read it and then pass it along, Lord willing, to someone else in the church. So if anybody would like that, it's a free gift in Jesus' name. Okay, right there, back, back. And then if you would give one back, 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 right back to Sue. All right, good. Anybody else? Oh, a few more. Okay, you got it. A few more, all right. A few more back in the back. Hezekiah, would you do me a favor? Or actually, Elijah, would you do me a favor? Would you go out to my car out there and get, there's a few more books. Apparently, we need more. Would you do that, please? Thanks. Gabby. Hi, Gabs. All right. So we'll get a few more. And I saw more hands go up than we have books, so that's great. But we want to just equip you. That's part of our job here at the church. Okay, so part of equipping also is where you can just be worshiping and praising the Lord all day. Joy 88.1, 104.3. They've got talk and music and worship. We got sermon online. You know that. Folks all around the U.S. actually are listening. We have now the Loner Library is back up in operation all the way to the back to the left. All we ask, if you check a book, we've got books. We've got audio books. You can listen in the car. We've got DVDs. You can watch them personally or family. All good Christian stuff. Just write them down on the Loner Library that you're checking them out and then return them in Jesus' name. This is a service we offer because we just want you to be equipped in the Lord. And it's free in Jesus' name. Okay? What else? All right. So we got just a really relaxing week this next week. Almost nothing going on. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So Sunday prayer meetings at about 9 a.m. We'd love for you to come out here and cry out to the Lord together for us, for the community, and for the Lord. And that's Sunday mornings. This Tuesday, we are going to Quaker Steak and Lube. Woo! Okay, and it's not, yes. So we're doing that on Tuesday. Now everybody's invited, okay? It's in Clearwater. Here's the address. We'll send out the address on the prayer text chain, which leads me to something else. Oh, thanks, buddy. I'll give that away a second. Thanks, bud. Oh, you can put the keys right there. Thanks. So this Tuesday, if you are going, we just ask that you would tell me or Lisa, or tell Lisa or Neely, because I'll forget. We're just trying to get a head count of how many we're going to get. So we're just going up there Tuesday. We're going to meet up there at what time? Seven. Yeah, so there's plenty of time to get up there, and it's all you can eat wings. You'll have to bring some money, and then don't forget a tip. But it's all you can eat chicken wings, and you can get them any heat index you want. I think there's about 20 or 30 different heat indexes. You can get any kind you want, custom made. And so we're going to be doing that. I know there's already about 15, maybe 20 of us that are going. So anybody who wants to go, just let us know. We'd love to. It's just a time of fellowship. It's an awesome, cool place. And we just eat, have fun, and fellowship. So, yeah. Anything else anybody wants me to say? Yes, Mark? That's Tuesday.
Is there a throwdown this year?
Is there a throwdown? You know what? Okay. who won last year? I think JoJo won for the hottest wings. He made it up to number 3 on the heat index, or 2 on the heat index. Yeah, yeah. Okay, number 2. And then I think Hezekiah won the chicken wing eating. Oh, it was either.
Elijah
won it. That's right. Yeah. Actually, I think what he did was after Hezekiah was done, went back and ate one more wing. But anyway, so Elijah, I think, won that. So anyway, yes, we will have a challenge. I'll have something for the winners, whoever eats the most chicken wings and whoever eats the hottest. But So anyway, and that is for everybody, yes. And Josh is donating a dream date with him. No, I don't know.
Yes.
Do you remember? Do you remember? It's not a place where you would go if you feel like losing weight. Unless you eat the really hot wings, and then you'll lose it all quickly. Okay, so that's this Tuesday. Everybody's invited, regardless of age. It's just a time of food and fellowship. So, but let Lisa know, and 7 p.m. up there, we'll send it out on the text chain, church text chain. Now, here's something else. Okay, if you're not on this text chain for the church, we send out little reminders for Bible study stuff. Please come tell me and give me your number. Now, here's the thing. I want to make sure that, okay, there was an older woman. I don't even think this way, like the world's way anymore. This is really nice older woman. She's come the last few times. And so I just said, hey. I just sat down and said, hey, can I have your number? And I said, I send out little texts and you know, for the church. I didn't even think about it. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I think she thought I was trying to pick her up. So this is for everybody. So if you're, it's for the church text chain. So pray, God, bring that poor woman back in Jesus' name, if that's your will. But if you're not on that, please let me know, and we'll put you on there. And we'll send you the information, the address, and all this stuff. And so that's Tuesday, okay? Tuesday. All right, Wednesday is youth group. But wait, there's more. Josh and Amanda Panda. There's more. This Wednesday, we are going to go see the movie, I Can Only Imagine. Okay? So, we are also inviting everybody to come see this movie. Is that right, Amanda Panda, Josh? Okay. So, we are going to meet out front of the Hollywood 20. And why are we picking the Hollywood 20? It's still $5, right? Yeah, still $5? $6. All right, that's why, because we're cheap. So we're going out there for $6. So make sure you bring enough money for a ticket. And so we're going to meet out front at 5:30 and 6 p.m. start. George, is there any way, if you can find a trailer within like 60 seconds while we stall? And there's no, I can only imagine movie or something. Yes. Oh, that's great. Yes, I Can Only Imagine was actually, just to encourage you, is a Christian movie. For those of you guys, you know the song, I Can Only Imagine. Well, anyway, it's got Dennis Quaid in it, all right? And it was actually number 3 in the box office. So I love that. I think that was really cool.
17 million opening.
Yes, all right. So if one of those has a trailer, I'm sorry? Yes, the movie's at 6, but we're going to be meeting at 5:30.
Official trailer.
Great movie. Bring your Kleenexes.
All right. All right, so we're going to try this. All right.
Yes, right. No makeup and Kleenexes.
Okay. I won't bring makeup.
When I was 10, 11 years old, life was tough. And I found some songs that I just, man, I held on to. And they got me through. They gave me hope. Because I needed it. Maybe tonight, so do you.
Dad, why don't you come watch me sing?
Dreams don't pay the bills. You're not ready. I don't think you found your song, found your soul. Let that pain become your inspiration. Then you'll have something that people can believe in.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him from the man that I hated into the man I wanted to become. And so I wrote this for my dad.
Amazing song.
Just kind of happened. Took about 10 minutes, I guess.
It didn't take you 10 minutes to write this. took a lifetime. I can only
Okay, so there you go. So that is Wednesday, 5:30, Hollywood 20, right at the corner of 301, downtown Sarasota. And then we're going to be going in at 6 o'clock. Tickets are roughly $6, $6.50. And so make sure you have finances. Okay, there was a few people that didn't get books. The hands were raised. Okay. Do you mind sending a couple back there? Thanks. Anybody else? A couple back there. We got two more left. Okay, Nicholas, you're going to read it? Okay, have you finished Not a Fan? All right, finish that one. Here's a go. Here you go. Betty, Hezekiah, would you? Oh, here you go. Thanks, Chris. All right. There you go. Okay, you're good. Okay, so I know we got a lot of stuff, but all these things, hopefully, our prayer is that this would encourage you and strengthen and deepen your faith so that you would grow to know the Lord and love the Lord and love and serve others and love and serve Him. That's the whole goal here. That's the only reason why we're here, is for Jesus. That's it. We serve a risen, living God. I love Him, and I want to make our hope and prayer is that He will be made known. All right, so that's Wednesday. Everybody's invited to that, all right? So, okay, what else? Yes, Thursday night, we're going to be doing a little Passover Seder instead. Yes, Heidi Ho, neighbor? Wait, 1 second before you start talking. Heidi, did you raise your hand? Yeah. Oh, she wants the mic. We're in trouble.
I was just going to say that Joel and I have The Forgotten God at home, and okay. We have both read that.
Okay.
And we highly recommend it.
Awesome. Thank you. That's from missionaries who have been on the field for 30 years. Praise the Lord. Thank you. All right, Gary, you want to say something?
Okay. Yeah, I do. Okay. And I know, you know everybody's busy. It's a busy week as you're documenting that. But as you demonstrated a little bit ago, if the Lord doesn't give me something to say, I'm speechless. But He did give me something. I've been looking for the last couple of weeks now at how the Last Supper fulfills the Passover, and it's absolutely amazing what's there when you look at it in that light. And like I said, I know everybody's busy, but I think it'll absolutely affect the way you look at communion, taking the Last Supper from now on. It's a fulfillment for the Holy Week here. I'd really encourage people to be there.
Awesome. And that's this Thursday. The dinner starts at 6 p.m., and then the Bible study will start at 7. And so you're welcome to bring a side to share. But food is a gift in Jesus' name. We just want you to come hear the word. Okay. Also, if that's not enough, Saturday early is a garage sale. Dave and Marcia, for those of you who don't know, they're going through a time right now, and so they're selling a lot of things, and they're having to move up north, and so Connie and Neely are having a garage sale at their home for them, and so if you would like to donate any items, see Connie or Neely, or if you'd like to come out and buy some items in Jesus' name, that will be for the next couple Saturdays in the morning, but the afternoon you might have to have free, because we also have a wedding. Is that this Saturday? What? So after 13 years, this amazing couple have decided that they want to follow the Lord and they want to be a witness for Him, and so they want to get married. And so we've had the privilege of baptizing Leslie and rededicating Stanley, and so that's going to be this Saturday. If anybody can help with decorations on Friday, I think it's the only night I didn't mention we had something. So sure, if you could help with decorating, please see Leslie Friday night. And they could use the help. But that's here at 3 p.m., and everyone's invited. Is that correct? Yes. Hope it's correct. Okay, just bring a side dish, and it should be an amazing celebration. And so I'm just very thankful for them and the decisions that they're making to follow the Lord and better honor Him. I think it's great. Very encouraging in the Lord. So glad you guys came. All right. So, okay, for those of you who don't know, real quick, last thing. I was going to show a quick film clip, but we just don't have time because it's taking way too long. But that's okay. Shepherd's Heart Christian School and the church, we had a bunch of people that went up, about 15 of us, roughly, that went to go see the Creation Museum. And it was a great, great learning experience. And the Ark encounter, okay, let me just tell you, this thing was massive. Okay, we're not talking this little bathtub ark with the animals hanging over. This thing was massive. It's the length. They built it proportionate to the Bible, and it's almost two football fields long. It's the inside is three stories high, but you can see this building right over here. This is, I mean, it is massive. This is a two-story building here. So you can see this is how big the ark was. It was amazing. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It was, I would recommend that every Christian would go to see this Ark encounter. It was that amazing. The kids came back. We did devotional, not a fan. The devotions were great. They read in the morning for an hour. We went to the Creation Museum or the Ark encounter or whatnot, and then we would come back and we'd all have devotions together where we'd share what we'd learned. It was just an absolutely amazing time what these kids were sharing and learning and honestly. And then we went to Charles Stanley's church. Okay, give me one more second. Okay, listen to this. Okay, yeah, everybody know who Charles Stanley is? Okay, not everybody. Okay, there's a few. He's like kind of like the Billy Graham of preaching. Okay, Billy Graham's an evangelist, so he's been preaching for a zillion years. And he's about 80 or 90 years old right now. So we went to his church on our last day, and so here's what we were talking about. When we were left, we were talking about listening to God, how God speaks, okay? That's when we left. The devotional was about trusting God. This book, not a fan. It was about trusting God and obeying God, right? And then we were spent all the time at Noah and the Ark encounter. All right, so here we go. So we go into this. We were a little nervous because it was a very nice Baptist-y church, and so everybody's in suits, and of course, I didn't even dress this good. I think I had a Captain America t-shirt. It was whatever was left in the laundry. It was the last day. So anyway, so we went in, but everybody's very friendly there, and he came out, and again, he's about 80 or 90, and I've heard him preach for many, many years, and I wish you guys were here Thursday night. Honestly, the testimonies went on for like an hour and 20 minutes. I had to stop it. We didn't even get to all of them. Some were on video. You guys missed an amazing time, but it was, I want to share this one thing at least with you. It was all the kids. When we sat down, Charles Stanley comes up, and again, he's older and frail and a little bit more frail. He still has some zing in him though. And he said, I'm going to talk about something. And he started talking about, guess what? Noah. And the ark and the flood. I haven't heard him talk about that in 20 years. And so here were the three things he said. It was the exact, Noah listened to God, Noah trusted God, and Noah obeyed God. And that's why him and his family were saved from the flood through the subway. It was just an amazing, all the kids were like, we're going to talk about Noah. All the kids went, you know, like we designed this whole thing. We called him Stanley. You ready with the Noah sermon? Cue it up. So anyway, and here's the thing. He doesn't even always preach at that. He doesn't always preach. He's not. But he happened to be there that day, that time, right by us. He was 3 miles away from where we were staying, right? And talking about Noah and the exact same things we're talking about before, during, and after. Is that not amazing? Do we serve an awesome God? All right. So anyway, I'll shut up there. And I think that's, that is in Kentucky. And it will literally blow you away. Now, we just finished with Colossians and Philemon and God speaking. Last week, we had Jonathan come out and share the five great commissions, right? It was what? He was awesome. Yeah, he's really great. Their kids go to the school here. And we've known them for many, many years. And so he came out and shared. You can listen to that online if you'd like, homefellowshipchurch.com. But he did a great job. And just so you know, their ministry, our church, our little church, supplies all the Bibles. He's doing all the colleges, New College, Ringling, USF. We supply all their Bibles for their students. And we do it in Jesus' name. And we gave them a gift. We don't have much, I told them, but here's what we have, and we gave them some money for their ministry. That's from us, from your tithes and offerings. He was so blown away. He's like, it was amazing. It was wonderful. You got a wonderful church. I said, yeah, we do. Okay, so that was last Sunday. Okay, now, here's what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to do the book of Habakkuk. We're going to go the Old Testament, okay, or Habakkuk, whatever we want to call it, tomato, tomato. All right, but here's the thing, okay, and it's written in a narrative way. Don't go there yet, because wait. Okay, so I made a mistake here, but I changed it the last second. I needed another week, okay, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to be going through the book of Habakkuk, and it's more of a narrative. Habakkuk's asking why. Why, God? Why is all this going on in troubled times? So I think this is the perfect time for this type of book. I've never taught it, so I wanted to have a little bit of extra time. Okay, so I did something that will either tank this morning as I changed it the last minute, or God will just use it and bless it, and I'll say thank you. Okay, so but that's what we're going to be studying after Easter. We're going to be going through the book of Habakkuk. So that will be really fun and really interesting, questioning God in stormy times. Okay, now, here's what we're going to study today. First off, if you need a Bible, Chris, do you mind delivering a few? He does mind? You do? No, he doesn't. Okay. Kind-hearted Chris will actually bring a Bible right to you. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. You will need a Bible in this church. So anybody needs one, raise your paw. All right, so I was listening on Moody Radio 104.3, Janet Parshall, In the Market with Janet Parshall. Amazing. I think it comes on around, what, 5 o'clock or something? Everybody should listen to this. Every Christian should listen to this show. Amazing. Okay? Moody Radio, 104.3, 5 o'clock. Anyway, she had this person on. I don't know if it was Ron Rhodes. He wrote 100 books, or it was some other guy. But one of the statistics he was sharing is the gospel and how the latest statistics show that 80%+ of all teenagers, okay, that go off to college, right, 80% turn away from their faith and don't come back. And why, you might ask? It's because of multiple things, but the main thing is we're teaching them a lot about church, but not about the gospel. We're teaching them a lot about going to youth group, but not a lot about Jesus. We're teaching them a lot about doing church things, but not about his word. We're talking a lot about Jesus, but we're not talking about him being essential to our lives. We're almost like we want Jesus to be kind of like a consultant in a business, okay? We had George S. May, I think is the name of the company. I used to own a computer company, networking firm, and here's what we did. We paid a lot of money, and we had this company come in, and they did all this stuff in our computer networking business and interviewed and blah, 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 this consultant. And then we listened to maybe one or two things that he said. And the rest of it, to be honest, I think we wasted our money. I just threw it all away. You know what? I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to listen to him. It was too much work. A lot of times we treat Jesus and his word like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus, I'm all for you. 100% for Jesus, as long as you're consulting on what I want to do. See, I don't want you running my life. I mean, what do you think, you're Lord? Oh, wait. You are Lord. We treat him like a consultant instead of like the king. Do you know what I'm saying? And so when I was hearing that, and I was listening to this, and I was thinking, and the Lord was putting this on my heart, I was thinking, oh my gosh, you are so right. When they were asked to talk about what is the gospel, these are Christian people, right, families raising up their kids, right? Most 80% couldn't even tell them what the gospel was. They would say Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, which those are the gospels, but that's not the gospel. So just to make sure, okay, that we start, here's the gospel. The gospel just means good news, okay? That's good news, okay? Now, in order for me to tell you the good news, there's also, of course, some bad news, all right? So we want to share both. First off, here's the gospel, all right? God created us to be with him, all right? That's the main thing. You remember in the garden, Adam and Eve, right? They walked with God. They talked with God. They had that intimate relationship with them. But then you remember what happened? our sins separated us from a holy God. Remember, God said, hey, I just got one rule for you. Just don't do this one thing. And Adam and Eve, just like us, did the one thing they weren't supposed to do. And that broke fellowship. And sin entered the world, okay? Sin separates from us a holy God. Our God loves us. And he wants that relationship. But he is holy. He can't take that sin in with him. He is holy. He is pure, right? And our sins can't be removed by good works. The Bible says that all of our righteous works, the best that we could ever do, are like filthy rags to God, right? That means the best good stuff, oh, you're really generous, you're really kind, that's not going to get you into heaven. That's not going to bridge the gap. The best that you can do is like, God is so holy and so pure, and we're so sinful, not just in our actions, but in our thoughts. We can't bridge that divide between heaven and where we're at. And so, but God, paying the price for our sin, Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He paid the price. God came down, Emmanuel, God with us, paid the price so that whoever wanted to have that relationship restored, whoever wanted to make him Lord of their life, that relationship could be restored, and he will give us his Holy Spirit. Something supernatural takes place in us, right? It starts having new desires and new thoughts, and that is for everyone, whoever trusts in him alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. See, that's the gospel. Does that make sense to everybody? Without Jesus, that relationship isn't restored. Without that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you can't live a life that honors God. You can try your best, but you're going to spin your wheels. You're wasting your time. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. Or youth group, or chicken wing night. We need the Lord. But it scares me to think how many people are just like, oh yeah, me and Jesus are homeboys, we're buddies, we're pals, right? But that's not it. There's one thing this book, there's a couple things. I just thought I'd share some things from the devotional. A DTR. Now, those of you who read know what that is. Is that correct? Jesus wants to have a DTR talk. Do you know what that is? What is it? Okay, what is it? Somebody tell me. Define the relationship talk. Yes, a DTR. Okay, define the relationship. Now, guys, some know what that is. I don't know. Maybe some girls know what that is. That's kind of the conversation where you have when you're, you know, seeing one another and seeing if this is going anywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, now I didn't get to know the Lord till I was almost 30. Okay, so I was not a godly man at all. I was a very ungodly man. And so I remember dating this one girl. Should I say her first name? No, Lord says no. Okay, so I was dating this one girl. And you know what? I shouldn't even say I was dating this girl. Anyway, I saw this girl. I don't even know how to say it. Anyway, we went out. Anyway, the point is, like once or twice, and I remember being in Village Inn on 41. I don't know if you know where that is in Sarasota. I don't even know if it's still there. You know, down by Bee Ridge. It's not there anymore. It's IHOP now. Okay, well, they used to have pies there. You know, they were famous for the pies. So I remember going there after some party or something, whatever. On our second date, it wasn't really a date. But anyway, we went there. And so I hardly even knew this girl. And we sat down and we ordered some, I don't know, breakfast or pie or whatever it was, whatever munchie we needed at the time. And all of a sudden she said, you know, Darren. I said, yeah. You know, and she's like, we need to have a talk. I'm like, sure, whatever you want to talk about. Hey, as long as it's about me. And so I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. And so we went to go, I said, let's talk. Okay, great. She's like, I think we need to define our relationship, define the relationship. Now, I'm thinking, what? What are you talking about? It's like, well, I want to define where we are. I'm thinking, we're at Village Inn. What do you mean you need to find where we're at? We're getting some pie. It's like, we need to have this talk. And I'm thinking, I don't even know what you're talking about. So it was doomed right there, you knew. And she's like, well, I need to know where this is going. you know, where is this going? Where are we? Where do we stand in our relationship? Where are we going? What's the future hold for us? What? And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I just want the check, please. And here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. And I did, and I paid the check, and that was it. Now, I know that sounds pretty terrible. You're thinking, I was not a Christian. Everybody understands that, yes? Yes, that's correct. So, but here's the thing. That the DTR, Define the Relationship Talk, helped her to know exactly where we stood. I was not ready for any commitment whatsoever. I didn't even want to go to the dating stage. I wasn't even ready for that. And the DTR talk helped define that. And so good for her. She got out of there and good. Jesus wants to have the DTR talk with you and with me. He wants to define the relationship. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, are we just friends? Am I just somebody you call on when you're bored? Or you know that friend that you don't really want to have a lot to do with, but you always call them when you're in trouble, you know, or when you're lonely? Or is this a relationship that's going somewhere, that's exclusive? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is this a relationship that I'm saying, okay, we're together, and that's where we're going? Jesus wants to have that talk with you. He doesn't want your spiritual words. He doesn't want your, you know, platitudes. He wants to know, where are we really at? Where are you at with him? He wants to sit with you. And the reason why he wants to do this is because he loves you. Your life, you know it. If you're not intimate, if you're not walking, if you're not having that intimate relationship, you know you're miserable. You know you are already. I'm not miserable. Yes, you are. Because there's that hole in your heart that only that he can fill. Ecclesiastes 3 says it. And Jesus says some hard things. Like, Jesus isn't somebody like you date, right? Okay, Jesus, I'm going to see you on Sunday. Already, I'm ready to listen to you. So excited. But I don't really want to bother with you the rest of the week. Right? Jesus wants us to be intimate and have that relationship all the time. Jesus said some hard things. A lot of people are like, oh yeah, Jesus, we're good. We date and we're... No, that's not a relationship that Jesus wants. Matthew 7, 13 to 14 says this. He said some hard things, guys. He said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to what? And many enter it. Now listen to this. He didn't say some enter it. Okay? He says many or most, depending on your translation. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And how many find it? Maybe our churches, maybe we're filled with folks who are, like he says, fans and not followers. You know what I'm saying? A fair weather fan. Hey, we're all for Jesus. We love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you? When everybody's there. But when we're alone, oh, I don't really want the Lord in my life there. So as we're going through some of these things, I just want us to understand that a relationship with the Lord is something much deeper than talk, talk, talk. It's the walk, walk, walk. Okay? Listen to some, here are some things that some folks have said. It's, and here are some quotes for some people. Billy Graham, who just died, you guys know. He said, Christ did not suffer and die to offer cheap grace. Jesus did not go willingly to the cross so we can have an easy life and offer a faith built on easy believism. As someone once said, salvation is free, but not cheap. It cost Jesus his life. Well said is right. Here's a few more. This is from a guy by the name of Paul Washer. He said, if following Jesus Christ doesn't cost you anything, it's because you bought into American Christianity. And there's a big punch in the face for you. Francis Chan, he's the one that wrote that book, Forgotten God. He says this. He said, following Christ isn't something that can be done half-heartedly or on the side. It is not a label we can display when it's useful, right? It must be central to everything we do and everything we are. And here's one last one, if I can. I'll give this one. This is David Platt. The road that leads to heaven is risky. It's lonely. It's costly in this world. And few are willing to pay the price. But following Jesus involves losing your life and finding new life in him. That's what following Jesus is about. Listen, here's the question for you. Oh, maybe a little too quickly. Here's a question for you and for me. You know, is there really a cost to following Jesus? And I'm asking you. Okay, you're saying yes. I don't know where the mic is. I've lost it. But if there is a cost, is there really a cost to following Jesus? Does anybody want to say? What is it? What is the cost? Somebody tell me. You say there's a cost.
Loneliness.
That means sometimes we're going to be lonely, isn't it? That means when our friends are going this way, or the crowd's going this way, we're going against the flow. Because he doesn't want us to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we're going to have to go the other way. That means that a lot of the people aren't going the same way as us. Good. What else? What could it cost us? We have, okay, now some hands are going up. Okay. Sorry, I get excited.
No, that's fine. I just know that when I first started, when I left everything and I moved down to Florida and I'm just like, I have to follow the Lord. It was, I did lose a lot of friends. I even lost family because they thought I was crazy.
Of course.
But I think it was even just the struggle of wanting to, it just kind of like losing myself. You know, I didn't know, I was like the fun, you know, whatever person. And it was like, I don't even know who I am anymore, but it was so cool because who I am in Christ now is it's so much more amazing than who I was. I was a low life.
Yes.
And now it's like, wow, I'm a mom and I'm a wife and I'm a Christ follower, you know? But at first it was scary because we get so used to living in misery that we lose our identity, you know? Yes. We have to be a new person, so.
Yes. Anyway. And by the way, you're still fun.
No.
Thank you.
And she got a really cool husband, too.
Yeah, she didn't say that, actually. No. No. But she does. All right, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, we have to die to ourselves and live for others. We have to sacrifice our own wants and desires and put the needs and the wants of others first.
Yeah, but we're talking generally. That's a nice, easy thing to say, generally speaking, right? But when you're coming home from a long day at work and your wife's got a bad attitude, I'm not saying mine ever does, and you just want to rest and be served, doesn't that means you got to serve more because I'm serving him and I'm serving her to show Christ. Or vice versa. Or maybe it's her serving me. Yes. Good. What else? What does it cost you? Tell me. I want to know. Here's some back here.
You'll have to wait, boy.
Yes.
It's along the lines of what Mark is saying. You're giving up your rights. You may have a quote-unquote right to defend yourself verbally when somebody's being verbal towards you, but you're choosing to give up your rights and just do it Christ's way.
Because you're trying to honor who?
Yes, the Lord. And you're fighting for, like, everything that you do, you want to do it for the, you know, for the advancement of his kingdom.
Yes.
So, you know, you have to set aside comfort sometimes and ridicule and things like that. If it means the salvation of someone else.
Yes.
Even legally.
Good. Yes.
If it means that.
Yes. Oh, right next to you. Right next to you.
Rejection.
Ouch.
Yeah. People look at you like you're a Jesus freak or something.
Yes.
I mean, the minute you bring up anything that has to do with heaven, God, Jesus.
Yes.
It's like, ooh, they just tuned you out.
Yes. And can I tell you something? That's good. Good. We got a few more raising their hands up here if you might bring that up. Awesome. That's really great. No, the hands are going up over this side over the first sweepy.
There's a young man up front.
Yes, I've noticed it for about 30 minutes now. Yes, we'll get to him in just a second.
I just want to say that we need to remember what sacrifice is. It's not so many times we think, oh, that's convenient. Oh, I got time. I can do that.
Right.
That's not true sacrifice.
Right.
It's those times when it is the hardest.
Yes.
Is to sacrifice, and we need to remember that.
Amen. Good. All right, Elijah, you're next.
Another sacrifice, you know, is sometimes you're going to have to reject other things. Like, you're going to have to reject, like, let's say there's this movie you really want to see, you know, but then you realize it's really dishonoring to the Lord in some way. Like, it may have a lot of witchcraft, or it might have, like, you're going to have to make a decision and reject that and follow the Lord's way, even though you may, you know, like
cool
something
or
like that, or be a fan of something like that. You're going to have to decide which is more important and which you're going to choose.
Yes. Good. Good. A few more over there. Oh, there's a few more over there. Good, good, good.
You're going to have to give up everything because Christ gave up everything for you.
Oh, good. Good. Couple more.
One thing on what Mark was saying, when he would get home from work, then he's got children who he's trying to bring up in the ways of the Lord and trying to show them the right way, so he can't sit down and be waited on because he still is showing the right ways and the right ways of doing things for his kids.
And we're doing it for the Lord. Yes.
Where we live, we were told about a missionary who... He is in Turkey, and for being a Christian, he has ended up in prison. And his first, initially, he was saying, pray to get me out of here.
Yeah.
There's no, I know, I shouldn't be here. I just want to get out. I want to be with my family. And he's now been indicted. He'll have his trial next month.
Lord.
And he is now saying, it's an honor to suffer like Jesus did for him.
Yes. And that's the...
And it's like, Lord, bring me to that point where I say it's an honor.
Yes. Me too. Yes, Amanda Panda, right there.
Well, what I'm going to say is kind of superficial compared to what she just said, but... basically, like you said, it's always going against the grain. And what I'm saying is, like, it's always like you're always like shows that you watch. You're always having to be careful what you watch. You can't watch what everyone else is watching because it's inappropriate. The music on the radio, it's like it's just you're constantly going against the flow
grain.
And having to make those choices not to listen to that music or watch that movie or watch that show or
dress
that way.
Good, good, good. Amen. So, you know, this one got me. If following Christ has never cost you anything, you're not following him. This is what Luke 14:33 says in the ESV, and I really like it. It says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's the words of Jesus. This is not easy believism. Listen, what he's saying is, whatever it is that you want to put first in your life, that has to be, you have to be able to let that go. He needs to be number one in your life. That's a difficult statement, isn't it? You know, a lot of people, just say this little prayer. Oh, Jesus. You know, but Jesus says something different. I'm going to read this. Luke 14. Hopefully I got the right verse on here. I did it at the last minute. So hopefully this is Luke chapter 14. You know, Jesus talks when he shares, he talks about counting the cost if you're going to follow him. Okay, in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. He says in verse, I don't know what I have up here, but it's verse 28. In Luke chapter 14, he says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them, and he was saying this to them. In verse 28, it says, he was talking about, if anyone of you does not carry his cross and follow me, they can't be my disciple. That's what verse 21 says. That's a pretty strong statement. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and he's not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. He goes on to say, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one who is coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. And then he goes on to say this, in the same way, or so therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. So following Jesus means a couple things. That means about four things. It means a million things, but here we go. Okay? Following Jesus means that we follow Jesus wherever. Wherever. We follow Jesus wherever. I want you to think about, he wants me to say first. I want you to think about Abraham. Do you remember how Abraham came in and got the land? Do you remember where he was at? He was at a place called Ur. And God just said, hey, I want you to pack up your family, your stuff, everything, and I just want you to go. Now, he didn't say, I want you to go to a certain place. He said, I want you, what did he say? No, you were right. Yes, he just said go. No, she's like, oh my gosh, no. He's talking to me, what do I say? You were absolutely right. He said, I just want you to go. I want you to trust me by faith. I'm asking you to step out in faith and follow me. And I'll tell you where you're going to go after you start going. That's by faith. And it's by faith that Abraham did that. You remember Mo? My friend Mo? Otherwise known as Moses, to those of you who don't know him as well as me. I'm just kidding. Moses, remember? He was, okay, God's like, yeah, I want you to go to the king of the world at this time, Pharaoh, and I want you to just go to him and I want you to have him release all the people. What? I can't go. I'm not a speaker. Great, I'll send your brother with you. I can't do, go. Yeah. Moses has a choice, right? Do I obey God by faith? Is he, do I follow him wherever he goes? Do I follow God wherever he sends me? Some of you are here because God has sent you here. Now, maybe you might want to be part of a big mega church where, I mean, they've got dining. I would love to have, like, we went to, in his church, Charles Swindoll's, not Charles Swindoll, Charles Stanley's church. Oh, okay, so there was a little bit of covetousness going on. Just being honest, Elijah goes, Dad, the worship, well, first we knew we were in trouble when the orchestra rose up from the center of the stage. They're all in tuxedos. There was about 250 people in the worship team, at least. So the children's ministry had this whole town. Okay, I'm getting off topic. The point is, maybe he's called you here, and this is where he's calling you to love and serve, instead of being served in some big mega church that's got millions and billions of dollars. I don't know. But David... Okay, David had to spend years out in the wilderness before he was able to be the king. You remember Jonah? God said, I want you to go to the Ninevites, those nasty, mean, terrible people, and I want you to go preach to them. Oh, Lord, not them. You don't want me. I'm a child of God. Yeah, you. I want you to go. Esther, and the line, it just goes on and on. Listen, There's a, in Luke chapter 9, there's a, let me get there real quickly. There's a few, we're going to go through each one of these real quickly. Quicker now that I realize that I've talked too much. And it says the cost of following Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it shows three people, and it doesn't actually say what happens to them, but we kind of get the idea, since he doesn't mention them, they chose not to follow. It says in verse 57 of Luke chapter 9, it says, as they were walking along a road, a man said to him, to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, at first, that sounds fantastic, doesn't it? I'd be thinking, okay, we got a winner here. He's willing to go wherever, right? No holds barred. This is good. But then Jesus, who knows our hearts, tells him something that's in his heart. He says, listen, Jesus replied, he didn't be like, oh, that's great, you're the man. He said, listen, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. What he's telling this guy is, we're going to be going from town to town, sharing the Lord, sharing God with people, doing miracles. I don't even know where I'm going to sleep. You're not going to be comfortable. You're not going to stay at the Ritz-Carlton in Sarasota. You're not going to order room service. I don't know what we're going to be. I don't even know where we're staying. See, he's going to hit you at some of those comfort points. But the bottom line is, following Jesus means wherever. And that means at your school. Now, some of you go to a Christian school. Praise God for that. Some of you don't. That means that you're to be a Christ follower there. But they mock me there. Yes, they mocked him. They're treating you the same way that they treated Jesus. And Jesus said, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. That means at work. Well, that means I won't get that job, or that means I might not be able to. Yes, that means that might happen. But you follow him and serve him anyway. That means at home. You know what I'm saying? That means at home. Listen. Everybody wants to be served, but especially to you husbands, you are to be the chief servant.
Well, I'm the man of the house.
Ding. You know what I'm saying? How about you be the most patient, the most loving? How about when somebody is blah, 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 you do this. You want to do this, blah, 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 blah. You do this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Mike just said hallelujah under his breath. No. But it's what about there? You know what I'm saying? It's what about there? Where's the there for you? Where's the there for you? Jesus said this. We follow him wherever. And he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Where did he take that cross? Calvary. And what did it end up doing? What he ended up doing what? Dying there. Right? And then his death. Torturous death. There you go. How about that for health and wealth? Yes, Nate, I'm sorry.
Something that's always jumped out at me is at the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was captured, taken in, that he was praying that, Lord, take this cup from me. He didn't want to go, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
And that's huge. Yes. Christ didn't want to go.
Yeah.
But he submitted to his Father.
Yes.
And he said, I'll go.
And I think the flesh part of us, that's where we're at, right? Can I be honest? I don't want to tithe. I don't want to give. My flesh says, oh, I got 8 people in the house. I need every buck I can get. But the Lord says, it's not your money. It's not your property. It's mine, right? Yeah. Well, isn't it all mine? Yeah. So maybe you should just give back to me what I've... Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? You can tell a lot by a person about their checkbook or their wallet. I don't know who tithes anything. So if anybody's thinking he's talking to me, I don't have any idea who tithes what. I'm just telling you. Listen to this. Joshua 1:9. He says, Have I not commanded you, if you're a follower of Jesus, have I not commanded you? I want you to be strong and courageous. Yeah, but Lord, if I go there, if when I went into the ministry, I had to give up 80%, 70 or 80% of my income. Right this minute, if I just shut everything down, I'd make an extra $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Right now, without doing any work, $2,000 to $3,000 a month, I would make more. Wow. But then I think, but look what God, what you're doing. You started ministries. You started school. People are getting baptized. Thank you, Lord. This is all for you. And I think double wow. Because what he has is better. See what I'm saying? It's all better what he has for you. He says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you will go. Yeah. So take the jump. Take the plunge. Whatever it is. Do it. Following Jesus means wherever and then whoever. What about them? Luke 14 says this. Can you hit the lights just for me for a second, Chris, just for 1 second? Thank you. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 27, says that he's supposed to come before every relationship. What? But you don't understand. My boyfriend's coming to church now. And so that's... You put him first. Well, you don't understand, my girlfriend. You don't understand, Mike. If I compromise a little bit, my kids maybe will see that Jesus. No, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You can't change anybody else's. If there's one thing I've learned following Jesus all these years, being a pastor, being in ministry, I can't change anybody's mind. Zero. It's between you and God. I can only present it to you. It's your choice. You have to make the choice. Whoever, what about them? Luke 14, 25 says this to 27. Luke 14, give me a second. Yes. He said, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, now don't run out of here, does not hate his father, mother, his wife, and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What? Yes. Now listen. Now that doesn't mean like, oh, I'm going to hate my wife now. What that means, right? Because that's against everything, or I hate my kids. That's opposite of everything God has told us, right? He's saying in comparison to, right? I want to tell you a story. Listen, I know of a wonderful girl who compromises because she's read this verse to me and she said, I can't do that. So she compromises for her son's sake, who isn't following the Lord. Now, do you think those compromises she's making in her home because her son doesn't know the Lord is helping her son know the Lord? It's doing the opposite. But she's putting her son first. I know another couple. Oh, this guy, Jay, loved this guy. Worked with him for years. He got to the point. He was an agnostic, okay? He, no God, whatever. Borderline atheist. After years of witnessing to him, right? He finally got to the point. He's like, oh my gosh, this is, I don't even know what to say. This can only be God now. I know it's God speaking. I remember speaking to him in a parking lot. And he got to the point, so much stuff was going on in his life. God was doing miracles. It was amazing. He's like, I now know there's a God. I know, and he could only be doing these things. I know it's God. I know it is. And I know what you're saying is truth to me. I know it is. I said, that's awesome, bro. Right now, let's go to the Lord, right? Let's praise him. Let's give our lives over. I can't. What? You just told me for yourself. You know now it's God. You know it's God speaking. You know it's God's calling. You know. But the girl I'm marrying, if I do that, I've been seeing her for years. She won't marry me. I said, Jay, maybe if you did it, she would come to know the Lord. But what if she doesn't? Well, that might happen. I'll do it after we get married. I'll tell her. I'll do it. I said, Jay, please don't do that. Don't put her before the Lord. No, it'll be okay. I'll just tell her. I'll just put it off. Just later, right? Right? And you know what happened? 10, 15 years later, neither of them are following the Lord. Doesn't want to, the later never comes. It's whoever. It, compare this, oh my Bible, John 8, 19 to 21, excuse me, Luke 8, 19 to 21 says this. If you want to know what brothers and mothers and sisters, right? It says in Luke 8, 19 to 21, Now Jesus' mothers and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. And someone told him, hey, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. And listen to what he replied. This is kind of a cool thing. He says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Those are our real brothers and mothers. That's family. Never put a person ahead of what God's calling you. Never do that. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. That's awesome. But listen to this. But whoever disowns me before other people, if you put them ahead of me, oh, I'm going to want to talk about Jesus now. He said, I will disown before my Father in heaven. First place, King, Lord. He's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. There's a song. You guys remember it? I've decided to follow Jesus. Remember that? No turning back, no turning back. But the third stanza, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me. I love it. In my head. But do you guys see that? If no one goes with you, I have to follow Christ. God forbid my wife or my kids go off in some... And the same thing if I did. She has to follow Christ. I have to follow Christ, right? No matter what happens, you follow Christ. Following Christ means wherever, whoever, and whenever. What about now? I'll just go through these last, give me five more minutes, guys. I know it's late. In Luke 14, 15 to 19, okay, it says this. He said to another man, he said, follow me. Hey, that's exactly right. Hey, follow me. That's the only two words he said. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed that. Jesus is saying to follow, right? But here's what he's saying. First, he says, Lord. Oh, great. Oh, you're the king. Sure. You're number one. But first, see that second thing? First, let me go do these other things. Now, I want you to know that chances are this guy, you see, he's saying, Lord, let me go and bury my father. It probably, his dad was still alive. He's saying, you know, after dad dies. Then Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You come and follow me. What does it matter what they do? You follow me. Now, if you look at the stories, I won't go there, but you guys can, just for time's sake, Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22. Oh, Lord, do you want me to? Yes. Okay, Elijah, what is it real quickly? Sorry.
Another reason why he said, let me bury my father is because he wanted, you know, like, that
didn't
sound really bad. Like, it sounded like he just wanted to bury his father, you know, and like after he died, but... What he really was saying is, you know, I want to, when my dad dies, you know, after I have my fun, after I have my time with the world, later, you know, then I'll join you.
Yes, that's exactly right. Good. But if you compare that to when Jesus called, like, some of his disciples, and I'll just, for time's sake, I guess the Lord does want me to read this to you. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, he says this, when he was calling him, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And it says, at once they left their nets and followed them. I'm at work. Jesus is calling, whatever, I'm following you. I'm leaving it behind. It says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their dad, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and it says, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Same thing with Levi. You remember the story about him, right? He was a tax collector. You guys know him by the name of Matthew. right? In Luke chapter 5, 27 to 28. After Jesus went out, he said he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. Maybe Levi had seen him or heard of him or been to a service or I don't know. But Jesus said, "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything to follow him. That is what he requires. Now, you may not have to give up, but you have to be willing. Does that make sense, guys? And it's whenever he says. The Bible says today, if you're hearing his voice, don't harden your hearts. Maybe he's speaking something to you. Don't harden it. Today, right now, don't put it off till tomorrow. If you're not saved, come forward. Say, "I want to be saved. Tell me." God would love it. The angels will rejoice in heaven. God's calling you today if you hear his voice. Maybe he's convicting you about something. Let it go. Let them go. Whatever it is. And the last thing is following Jesus means wherever, whoever, whenever, and whatever. It means what about that? And this is the last one in Luke. And this is kind of sad. This last one says this, and I'll read it to you just for time's sake. He says, excuse me. If I can find it, maybe that's 9:41. I think I wrote the wrong thing down. Yeah. Still another said, this is actually chapter 9. I have 14 up there, but it's wrong. 9:61 and 62 says, still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first, again, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God." There's nothing wrong with saying goodbye to the family. But that could have taken a celebration weeks and months in that culture. And he's saying, "I just want you to follow. Put me first now. Don't go back. Let's go back." When God called Elijah to serve him, do you know what Elijah did? He was plowing the fields. He had an ox. And back then, that was like a huge tractor and tons of oxen and a plow. He burned it all. He gave away the meat, slaughtered the oxen, burned it, and gave it all away because he was following God. You know, it's whatever the cost. You know, Mark says this in Mark 8, 36 and 37. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? So what if you're popular? So what if you have money? So what if everybody likes you? Who cares if you lose your soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? What are you willing to give up for Jesus? You know, in Manhattan, when the folks came over, they sold Manhattan for baubles. Do you know what baubles are? Glass. They sold Manhattan for baubles, for nothing, for glass. It was worthless. That's what we're doing when we're trading in whatever the world has to offer for Jesus. I think of like the rich young ruler, and I'm just going to, this will be my last scripture, and this isn't the message. This is that same Luke 14:33, and I love it. Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Now, here's the neat thing about the Lord. If you will offer them up, whatever it is, let's say money is your thing that's causing you to stumble, or the kids, or the husband, or the relationship, or the place, or the show, or the whatever it is, you put that up on the altar. You put them up on the altar. Sometimes God will turn that whole life around and bring them back around. But you still have to make the choice to follow him first. Do you know what I'm saying? You choose him. Amen? All right. Father, we just want to say thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your message, Lord God. And Lord, we just ask if there's anyone here who's maybe even struggling with something, Lord God, had given up something or someone or whatever, Lord, that that you, in Jesus' name, would just help them, empower them to let it go, Lord God. Or you would even sever the ties, Lord God. Whatever it is, that you would help us to be able to take you wherever we go and whenever and whoever and whatever, Lord God. That you would be Lord of all, Lord God. We love you and we ask for you to empower your people and to encourage your people this week, Lord God. And next Easter, Lord, go before us, Lord, and speak to us, Lord God. Prepare our hearts for whatever it is you want to say. And even as we get into the book of Habakkuk, Lord, or Habakkuk, Lord God, in the next couple weeks, Lord, speak to us. We want to hear from you. We love you and bless you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. And everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.